Well, the theme of the meeting is dominion. And Pastor has asked me to teach about faith, which is exactly what I will endeavor to do this morning. Now, I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles to my text for this morning's session, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read three verses there and start from there. Genesis 1, from verse 26 to 28. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And then verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Heavenly Father, we thank you because you're our Father. You're a great Father. Thank you for once again another opportunity for us this morning to mingle our voices together in prayer, in praise, in thanksgiving, in adoration for your loving kindnesses and your tender mercies that are forever ours. Thank you most of all for the great plan of redemption which you planned and sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to consummate. Thank you for your word that brings us a revelation of that plan. We approach your word humbly and reverently. We trust that by your Spirit you will unveil, unfold, and reveal the word of God through these lips of clay. Our hearts are purposed and our minds determined that we won't be hearers of the word alone, but we'll be doers of the same, and as a result, full recipients of all of your blessings. We give you thanks, Father. In Jesus' matchless name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen. Now, four thoughts that I'll be sharing on this morning on the theme of the meeting, Walking in Dominion. Dominion is the theme, but if you like to title this message, you might want to call it Walking in Dominion. Now, first thing is this. We know that faith begins where the will of God is known, and the word of God is the will of God. In Romans 10:17, the Bible says, "So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So God's word is what produces faith. And in any area where we are going to exercise our faith, we need to know what God's word says in that area. Now, it's clear from here where we read that God's purpose for man was for him to have dominion on the earth. In one sense of the word, Adam was originally the god of this world, small g, of course, under God. He was to rule, to reign, to dominate on the earth. He wasn't made a slave. He wasn't made a prisoner. He was made in God's image and after God's likeness. He was a kingly being. We see in Psalm 8 verses 4 and 5 where the Bible says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Since thou hast made him a little lower than the angels." Now the Hebrew word for angels there happens to be the same word that was used in Genesis 1:26 for God. It's the word Elohim. So the literal Hebrew actually says, "Thou hast made him, made man, a little lower than Elohim, a little lower than God." The marginal rendering says, "A shade lower." So God made man as much like himself as he could make a being. Now man was so close to God in his creation that it was actually possible for God and man to be in union in the person of Jesus Christ in one physical body. Now, if that was the case, then we can see clearly that man was made like God. Notice it says, "Thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim. Thou hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou hast put all things under his feet, gave him dominion over the works of your hands." So you see, man was made to have dominion. He was made to rule. He was made to reign. Now, because faith begins where the will of God is known, we need to establish that in our spirits. We need to establish that in our hearts, that it's God's will that we dominate. Well, we know what happened. Adam committed high treason. He sold out to the devil. He disobeyed God. And when he did, you know, God had told him, if he eat of the trees in the garden, the fruit of the trees in the garden, but the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat of it, you will die. Now, the literal Hebrew actually says, in dying, you will die. In dying spiritually, you'll die physically. Man did the unthinkable. He committed high treason. He disobeyed God. He sold out to Satan. And then Satan became the god of this world and took on man's authority. He took on man's dominion. That's how the devil became the god of this world and began to ride us roughshod and began to rub our noses in the grindstone. And began, he brought with him sin and sickness and disease and poverty and failure and family issues. Now we saw it in the first family. Cain killed Abel. Now that's trouble. Adam named his own grandson Enosh. Enosh means frail. It means death doomed. There began a reign of tyranny upon the earth. You know, today, insurance policies, we'll hear them say stuff like, well, they want to insure against accidents, earthquakes, floods, and other acts of God. I beg your pardon. Those things are no acts of God. There are no more acts of God than I'm a monkey's uncle. No, God doesn't do such things. He is a good God. 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 John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That which steals, that which kills, that which destroys is of the enemies, of the adversary, is not of God. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we know that Jesus is the healer, Satan is the oppressor. Luke 13:16 says, ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years will loose from this bond on the Sabbath day. You see, those things are no more, they're not works of God, they're works of the devil. Sickness is of the devil. Disease is of the devil. All those things. Poverty is of the devil. Failure is of the devil. Retrogression is of the devil. They were not a part of God's original plan. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So the first thing we must do is to establish it in our spirits. Build the word of God into our hearts about the fact that God wants us to walk in dominion. Now we know something about the word. God's word has integrity. It can be trusted. In John's gospel, the first chapter, from the first verse, the Bible says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. It says in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came as a witness to bear witness of that light. He wasn't the true light, only came to testify of the light. This is the true light that lights every man that comes to the world. He came to the world knew him not, came to his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, who are born, not of flesh or blood or the will of man, but who are born of God. Verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we know this, that the word of God is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus is the living word. The Bible is the written word. The written word is given to unveil the living word to us. You don't know God any more than you know his word. You don't love God any more than you love his word, because God is one with his word. God is one with his word. If your word cannot be trusted, you cannot be trusted. If your word is no good, you are no good. But I don't mind saying this, God is good. And that's why his word is good. His word is good. In Numbers 23:19, the Bible says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. As he said, and shall he not do it? As he spoken, and shall he not make it good? He said in Isaiah 55:11, said, so shall it be. My word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, he said, heaven and earth shall pass away. He said, but my word shall not pass away. In John 6:63, the spirit that quickeneth the flesh profits nothing. He said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So we know that God's word is not merely ink on paper. It is spirit and life. It's full of life. It's full of power. It's full of ability. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder, bone and marrow, soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So God's word is full of God's ability. Anything the word of God cannot do, God cannot do it, because he's one with his word. He's one with his word. So faith begins where the will of God is known. And the will of God is the word of God. The will of God is the word of God. Any area we intend to exercise faith, we will need to build God's word solidly into our spirits in that area. You know, it's important to build it into our hearts. You know, the word of God is the basis of faith. In John 15:7, Jesus said, if ye abide in me, now if you're born again, you abide in him. And he said, and my words abide in you. Then he said, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now many times, people rush into prayer. They haven't built a solid foundation of the word of God into their hearts concerning the thing they're endeavoring to pray for. And that's why they don't get any answer. You know, I heard someone say one time that God always answers prayers. Sometimes it says yes, sometimes it says no, sometimes it says hold on. Well, I told somebody, I said, yeah, that's in the Bible, all right. Maybe Revelation chapter 23, verse 1. Now, you know, Revelation ends in chapter 22. God's, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen. If we come in line with God's word, he has only one answer. Now, many times people will talk about Paul, how he besought God 3 times. And then God said, no, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, why God couldn't grant what Paul requested was that it wasn't even God's will in the first place. The devil has a right to be here. And until Adam's lease runs out, he's going to be here. So Paul's not going to get God to remove that thorn in the flesh. What was the thorn in the flesh, by the way? It was the messenger of Satan, the demon spirit, that went everywhere to harass Paul. Amen. And God was simply telling him, young man, my power is available to you. My strength is available to you. And with my grace, you can overcome the buffetings of Satan. And that's exactly what Paul did. So my point is this. What does the word say? What does the word say? 1 John 5:14-15. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know. And we have the petitions that we desired of him. So God's word. And God's word, God's will, is that we have dominion on the earth. That was his original purpose. It hasn't changed. Well, Adam messed up, sold out to the devil. And then Satan took hold of man's dominion. And he began to oppress humanity. Now, remember the temptations of Jesus. One of those temptations in Luke chapter 4, from verse 5 to 8. The devil showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And then he said to him, all this power. Now that Greek word power is exousia, is actually authority. All this authority, and the Amplified Classic brings it out that way. All this authority is given to me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Told Jesus, if you fall down and worship me, all will be yours. He showed the devil the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now somebody said, yeah, the devil must have been lying there. How could those kingdoms of the world be under the devil's authority? I thought the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Of course, Psalm 24 verse 1, God was the owner, is the owner, will always be the owner. But you see, God gave dominion on the earth to Adam, to mankind. And what did man do with that dominion? He sold it out to the devil. And then Satan took hold of man's dominion. When Satan told Jesus that, if the devil had been lying, Jesus would have said, no, you don't have it to give. But Jesus did not contest the devil's claims. Besides, the Bible calls it a temptation. A temptation. Luke 4, just in full, verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Verse 2 says, being 40 days, tempted of the devil. So, he was tempted of the devil. He was a temptation. In a temptation, there's the hook, there's the bait. So, if there was no hook, if it was all hook, and there was no bait, and there was nothing the devil had to offer, then it wasn't a temptation, it was an attack. Are you listening? Anybody here who's ever been tempted to put his hand inside fire? I never have. I don't think you have. That's not a temptation. But you see, there's a pleasure. There's some pleasure that temptations bring. However, it's a hook. So the devil had that authority. Adam gave it to him. But you know the good news? That's not where the story ends. there was and is a second Adam who happens to be the last Adam. And on the grounds of his substitutionary sacrifice, on the grounds of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, on the grounds of the finished work of redemption, Satan has been defeated. He's been defeated. He's been defeated. He's been defeated. He's been dethroned. Are you listening to me? Romans 5:17. The Bible says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Weymouth translation says, reign as kings in the realm of life. Listen to me, child of God, you are a king. You are a king. You are a kingly being. Revelation 1, verses 5 and 6. Revelation 5, verse 10. The Bible lets us know that we are kings and we are priests unto God. And since you are a king, what are you to do? You are to reign. You are to reign. You are to reign. You are to reign. Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 1. And we see the whole, the first prayer he did that's recorded there from verse 16 to 23. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what's the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And then I like it. And what's the exceeding, verse 19, greatness of his power to us word, or toward us who believe. Now, when he was going to talk about the power of God that's at work towards the believer, he said, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him up from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, far above, far above. If he had said above, that was above enough. But it said it's even above being above. It's far above. Far above what? All principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you see, Jesus is the head. The church is the body. All the forces of darkness are far beneath the feet. I don't care if you are the weakest member of the body of Christ. I don't care if you got born again 5 minutes ago. I don't care if you're that little toenail on the left foot of Jesus, just a weak Christian. Listen, the devil is still far beneath you. The devil is still far beneath you. You've got authority over him. You've got dominion over him. And you are to reign in life as a king. You are to king. Be kinging and queening all over the place. Are you listening to me? Be reigning. That's what I'm saying. God wants us to dominate. God wants us to dominate. He wants us to dominate sin. Romans 6:14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Verse 18 of Romans 6. Well, let's start from 15. Let's just go ahead. It says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? It says, God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness? It says, but God be thanked that you are the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had he then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now be made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you got born again, Satan's dominion over you ended. Sin's dominion over you ended. It ended, it ended, it ended, it ended. Colossians 1, 12 to 14, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or who has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Listen to me. We have an actual redemption from the devil's dominion. If you see the devil, kick him in the butt and tell him to get lost. Tell him to scamper. He will. Why? You've got the authority to do so. Why? You've got the dominion. Dominion over sin. Dominion over Satan. Dominion over sickness. Dominion over sickness. Now, I'm not trying to brag or any such thing, but I haven't had a headache now in over 30 years. And I don't mind telling you I'm going to live and die without having a headache. I haven't needed a tablet in over 30 years. Now, the doctor is fighting the same devil the preacher is fighting. If you need medical help, go get it. Don't feel condemned about it. Praise God. But I just haven't needed it. You know why? I found out about my dominion. I found out that Jesus died, not just for my sins, but also my diseases. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness. When we should see him, there is no beauty, we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, yet we esteemed him not. Verse 4 says, surely. And I love that. Surely, surely, surely. Not maybe so. Not let's hope so. Not let's assume so. Not perhaps, not peradventure, not should in case. Surely, 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 he hath borne our griefs. That Hebrew word griefs literally means sicknesses or diseases. And carried our sorrows. That word sorrows means pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone had gone on his own way. The Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 10 says, it pleased God to bruise him. He had put him to grief. He made him sick. He made him sick with our sicknesses. He made him diseased with our diseases. He was our sin substitute. And the same way he took that sin nature and took our sins, he also took our diseases. So we had to live in dominion over sickness. You see, talking about the old covenant, people who were not in a covenant nearly as good as ours, a covenant based on the blood of bulls and goats, God said concerning them, Psalm 105, verse 37, it says he brought them forth with silver and gold. And it says there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Exodus 15, 25 and 26. Or 23, Exodus 23. 25 and 26, and ye shall serve the Lord thy God. He'll bless thy bread and thy water. He'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall none cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Exodus 15, 26, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, do that which is right in his sight. Give ear to his commandments. He said, I will put, the Hebrew actually is, I will permit none of these diseases upon you which I've brought, which I've permitted upon the Egyptians from the Lord that healeth thee. You see, they had healing in the old covenant. We have healing in the new covenant as well. We're to dominate it. See, James wrote a letter to Christians, James 5:14. He said, is any sick among you? Look, he wasn't expecting there would be any sick, but should in case there's any sick, and that's how it ought to be. Sometimes the way we let that become, I'm talking about in the church world generally, it's almost as though James should have written and said, is any well among you? That's not what he said. Is any sick among you? There shouldn't be any sick among us. There shouldn't be any sick among us. But in case there's one who's sick, so sick that he cannot help himself, say, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. In the name of the Lord, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Lord, shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Look, God wants us healthy. God wants you to live your life out without sickness, without disease, and at a good old age to fall asleep in Jesus. In Psalm 91, verse 16, he said, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Well, how long is long? I tell people long starts from 70 or 80. Psalm 90, verse 10, the number of our days are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be fourscore years, they are soon cut off. Moses was lamenting when he said that. So what am I saying? Dominion over sin. Dominion over Satan. Dominion over disease. What else? Dominion over poverty. You see, it's sad that the message of prosperity has been pushed to ridiculous extremes. That's a fact. It's sad that there are some charlatans, you know, these days behind pulpits. It's a fact. But you know what? We don't throw the baby away with the dirty bath water. Because some people pushed prosperity to stupid extremes and began to use it to fleece God's flock and to merchandise the anointing, it doesn't do away with the truth of the word of God. 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich." Somebody said richness talking about being spiritually rich. No, it's not. Read the context, talking about material and financial things. Well, when was Jesus poor? On the cross. Jesus in his earth walk was not a poor man. He had 12 mouths he fed. Those guys had families. We know James and John, they had a father, Zebedee, they had a mother. We know Peter had a mother-in-law, so he must have had a wife. Yet, Jesus asked them, "Did you lack anything when I sent you out?" They said, "We lack nothing." You see, Jesus' clothes, Roman soldiers, which is like Rome ruled the world then. It's like when they used to kill people at Bar Beach. Let's say American soldiers are supervising it. And then the American soldiers start fighting for the dress of one of those criminals. That's what happened. Jesus was by no means a poor man in his earth walk. Yes, he wasn't ostentatious. Yes, he wasn't extravagant. Yes, he wasn't flamboyant. But his needs were met. Are you listening to me? His needs were met. 2 Corinthians 9:8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you having always all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work." Psalm 84 verse 11. "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He will give grace and glory. No good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Isaiah 1:19, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." Job 36:11, "If they'll obey and serve him, they'll spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures." Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." I heard someone say the other time that God only promised to supply our needs. I thought to myself, I wish that fellow would learn how to read. Psalm 23 verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Psalm 34 verse 10, "Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall want no good thing." Listen to me, God wants you to have money. He doesn't want money to have us, but he wants us to have money. Let me ask you, what's spiritual about about coming to this meeting hungry? Not because you're fasting, but because you don't have food to eat. What's spiritual about that? What's spiritual about being sent out of your house because you're behind on rent? What's spiritual about that? I like to say this, that who poverty help? Who poverty help? Let me say it, Wafista, who help? Poverty never made anybody a better Christian. Someone said, "But that guy in Proverbs said, God, don't give me money that I'll forget you. Don't give me poverty that I'll curse you." Well, the Bible also says that the prosperity of fools will destroy them. So if prosperity will destroy you, you're a fool. The Bible said so. Are you listening to me? God wants us to have money. 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 For what purpose? For the gospel. So that we can see to the furtherance of God's kingdom. So that we can be committed to the local church. He's strong about the local church. Well, like I said, 4 points. I just got on the first one today, this morning. I'll continue in the evening. And I got a little preachy too, I guess. Well, sometimes it's good to do that. Just to plow the ground a little bit. Amen. But what am I saying? It is God's will that we walk in dominion. That's God's word. So we need to build that into our hearts. Build that into our spirits. Feed on that. Let that take a hold of us. Once we know that, we know that, we know that this is what the word of God says, there are a few other things we'll talk about. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands to him. Yeah, it looks impossible. They've told you you can't get it done. They've told you it's not going to happen. But listen, said God, it will happen. It will happen. It will happen. As surely as I put it in your heart and I told you to do it, then go ahead and do it. I'll bring the resources you need. And you'll see that everything will turn out fine. Now you have much cause to rejoice and much cause to be glad. Well, what was that about? I don't know. The Spirit of God just inspired me to say that to him. Amen. Praise God. See, we're not just people of the Word. We're also people of the Holy Ghost. Someone put it like this. He said, "Just the Word and you may dry up. Just the Spirit and you may blow up. But with the Word and the Spirit, we get to grow up." Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. somebody, there's a lady here, you've been having this upset in your abdomen, the left side of your abdomen, the lower side. Yeah, and you're quite concerned. You are meant to go to see a doctor. You haven't done that just yet. Every head bowed and eye closed. If that's you, just lift up your hand. The lady, left side, your lower abdomen. All right, put your hand there. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And that's it. It leaves now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. 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 We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We reverence you, Lord Jesus. We reverence you, Lord Jesus. We reverence you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, get that by me one more time. Also, Varopaparadavas. Yeah, there's someone who's here. Don't lift up your hand. You're battling addiction. And it's drug addiction. You're battling that. You're a child of God. You're filled with the Holy Ghost. But someone got you introduced to some of this substance. And you began to, you got into that. You've been trying to break free. You've even attempted suicide over this thing. Listen, you are free. Why? Because the Son set you free. He set you free 2,000 years ago. The day you got born again and came into Christ, that freedom became yours. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of that addiction over your mind, over your body, over your life. You are free in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, we could do a little more, but you know the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, right? Amen. I'm blessed that those who keep to time, they just might be invited another time. Let's lift up our hands to Jesus and give him thanks.